the energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And the glow from that fire can truly light the world. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
We are back. Okay, Milo, you had something you wanted to, before we go to the phones, you had something you wanted to mention.
Yeah, I'd like to share this with your audience.
I think your mic is, your mic is on.
Okay, I want to share this with your audience. These are wiretaps from the telephones of Marilyn Monroe, the Attorney General Bobby Kennedy, and reporter Dorothy Kilgarren. None of these people had direct connections, to my knowledge, with the outer space movement. So I think that's where Marilyn's name got put in here as the subject. They weren't bugging their phones to find out about Roswell or anything else.
Well, from what I understand, everybody probably except the Boy Scouts of America had a bug on Marilyn's phone.
There's just four or five, to my knowledge.
Okay. Well, you know, we got all our phone lines.
Oh, dear.
All our phone lines are lit up, so let's start punching some holes in. Let's go to Dallas. We've got, I believe that's Karen in Dallas on Paragon. Good evening.
It's Kevin.
I'm sorry, Kevin. I couldn't read that writing, Kevin.
That's all right. A couple of questions for you. You mentioned earlier, I'm an open-minded skeptic, and I read, I guess it's Howard Blum's book, Out There.
Yes.
I really liked it. And it makes you ask a lot of questions. You said he was trashed. And
the NSA, the National Security Agency, you have to have some knowledge of what went on at the time with Blum and that particular book, Kevin. He had written a book on the Walker spy family, okay, and had worked in connection with NSA and other intelligence agents for quite a while.
I mean, this from what I read, this is a legitimate...
Well, let me finish.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. And one of his NSA contacts asked him if he knew anything about UFOs and began him on this pursuit of UFO investigation. And the areas that they led him are some of the most discredited areas today in the field of research, as far as UFO research is concerned. That book was thoroughly discredited probably 3 months after it was released.
So he was just led down the garden path.
Exactly.
But his sources were legitimate. You see, this is the problem. This man knew these sources before he became involved in ufology. So he was fed disinformation, used and trashed, and I don't think that anybody watching him on hard copy or any of the or Inside Edition, when they heard him being rear-ended, you could tell that these people had been given information to kill this guy. They had literally, I mean, they had information he wasn't aware of, and he was proved to be wrong, and you could tell he had bought government information and had been rear-ended.
Well, what's he doing now? And did he ever say that he felt that he'd been railroaded by his contacts or the government?
We had an extensive interview with Blum after his book came out in the pages of UFO magazine, and after that he completely dropped out of this field. We did talk to Cy Hirsch in New York, who of course is one of the most famous of the investigative reporters. And Hirsch was thoroughly outraged when we interviewed him about Blum and claimed that he was quoted out of context and so forth. So there were, you know, apparently a number of movements that was out at that time to discredit Howard Blum.
So they were out to get him personally, and this is just the method that they used to do it?
I don't know if they wanted him personally, but he was certainly, his investigative techniques were trashed in the
question is that no matter how credible you are, what your past has been, if you get involved in this subject, you suddenly are discredited. You're suddenly lying. You're suddenly filled with misinformation, so that there is no reliable source. This is the, this This is what the Robertson panel set up, and this is what the government has been doing for 30 years. They destroy every credible source. You debunk, you ridicule, you set people up. No matter how reliable they've been in the past, if they deal with this subject, suddenly the information that they believe is accurate turns out to be false.
Well, can you recommend another book for me to read? I read the Roswell book, and then I read Out There, and I guess that one's
good.
You
bet, you bet. I can give you a couple, Kevin, and we're going to have to move along.
Okay.
Number one, a very important book in the field, and one of the best, and it's written by two fellows by the name of Barry Greenwood and Larry Fawcett. The name of the book, Clear Intent, the UFO Cover-Up. Number two is Timothy Good's first book, Above Top Secret. And you can probably find either of those either in your library. You might be able to pick them up at B. Dalton or Walden Books.
And any Donald Kehoe book.
Yeah, but they're many, many years out of print. We've got to move along, Kevin.
All right,
thank you for your call. You bet. Let's go to Scott in Anaheim, who's joining us on Comcast. Good evening, Scott.
Good evening.
What's on your mind?
I have some information.
In reference to what?
To your topic tonight.
Okay.
And also to some information concerning the United States government.
Okay. Where did you come by this information?
I cannot reveal my source, and I cannot discuss who I talked to.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you what I would rather have you do. Put it down on a piece of paper and send it to me at the magazine. Okay. Let's go to... We've got, I think it's Dr. Frank Stranges from Van Nuys on United. Good evening, Frank.
Good evening. How
you?
Are you?
I'm
certainly
fine.
Is.
What
you
can
know,
I do for you?
Well, this is a fascinating program. I accidentally tuned you on Channel 41 here.
Where have you been for the last 3 years, Frank?
I'm usually lecturing. I did want to say that I appreciated some of the comments regarding people on the UFO platform that have no business being there, especially when they get up and lambaste other speakers. This is a crime, and somebody should put a stop to it. I've emceed quite a few space and science conventions, UFO conventions across the land, and I discourage it every chance I get. If a man gets up to lecture, he should lecture on his appointed subject and quit slandering other speakers on the UFO platform.
Okay.
That's my comment for the evening. And I also appreciate, Don, I consider you one of the most credible people on the subject today.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm still waiting for your article for my next magazine.
Well, so's Vicky, come to think of it.
Great. Our UFO journal is printed now every second month. So get us an article.
Every 2 months, Frank?
That's right, Don.
Okay, all right.
Yes. And give my regards to everyone at the magazine.
I certainly will. Thank you for
Great.
Your call,
Have
Frank.
A nice weekend.
You bet. Keep
Bye-bye.
In touch.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Kelly and Rosita, who's joining us on CBI. Good evening, Kelly.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Hey, when did the show become the Rush Limbaugh show?
What are you talking about?
Who knows? Two calls ago. Hey, I've got a question. And then I want to just tell you, Don, that I've got the NASA pictures of the moon. I believe it's King Crater.
Yes.
I got 14 pictures here, so what I'll do is I'll just call you on Monday and get them over to you.
Okay.
How does one go about verifying the legitimacy of such documentation? I have a copy of the MJ-12.
Well, you're lucky. We've got a document expert right here this evening in studio.
Independently. He's the one who received the document, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's also a document expert.
Okay.
Milo, please.
Fire away.
Well, if you'd like me to look at that document, I'll be happy to. It was not just I that verified this. I don't know if you was on the show earlier, but it was verified by a top investigative reporter with a... what is it called
Hollywood
again?
Reporter.
No, not the Hollywood...
Oh, you mean in Virginia?
No. Well, yeah, he's in Virginia, but this is the gentleman that's the Public Broadcasting Commission.
Right, okay, I'm sorry.
Have you ever thought of possibly pushing it past somebody at the Association of National Security Alumni? You get guys from NSA, DIA, CIA, etc. And they're willing to talk. They're the ones who believe in freedom of... information.
And the Association of Former Intelligence Officers is another organization.
Sure.
Yeah, I have no... I would be happy to share this with any legitimate source. Matter of fact, I've been contacted by many since this news item broke about a week or so ago. And if there's any legitimate association or person that would like a copy of it, I will be more than happy to give them a copy.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay, Kelly, thank you. Let's go to Brian in Albuquerque. No, we're going to have to hold off. Brian, hang on for just a moment. We have got to take a quick break, and we're going to give out the phone numbers. We've got a couple of open lines, so here's what you do.
I want to be loved by you, just you, nobody else but you.
And we are back. Okay, let's go to Brian in Albuquerque. Good evening, Brian. Are you there?
Yes, I sure am.
How you doing?
It's good talking to you tonight.
Well, it's good talking to you.
You're a hard man to get a hold of sometimes. I tried all last show, and you were busy. So he was a very popular guest you had there.
Oh, Hoagland.
Yeah.
He sure was.
My question was, I wanted each one of you gentlemen to answer this, then I'll hang up, but I want you to answer it as honestly as you can possibly answer it. If, let's say, a government official in the secret intelligence field come up to you and he said, look, Don, I'm going to show you some things that you can't tell, but you're going to have to be sworn to secrecy, you're going to have to sign some documents, you can never reveal what they show you, and they're going to show you all these secrets. Would you sacrifice what you're doing to see those things and never reveal them?
I would have to be convinced that it would be to the absolute benefit of the body of the country in order to keep this secret. If it meant possibly that someone would suffer harm if this information was revealed, I would think very hard about that. I sincerely doubt, Brian, that I would ever be put in a position like that. But if someone did offer to show me something along those lines, I would have to be convinced it would be for the highest good to not release that information. I personally think that this information should be released to the public. They are, in fact, the final ruling body the way this country was set up.
Okay, that answered my question. Just one other thing. I know that the movie, I think it's FX, it's on Fox, it's a fictional show, but they had some people that they showed them some different UFO things, and I think it was a total government setup. Do you think that Roswell could have been that? Some kind of a government setup to throw people off some other secret project?
No, I don't. I don't believe that for a second. And if you get the new issue of UFO Magazine, I have a story in there on a first-hand witness that myself and Dwight Schultz uncovered, that we proved to our satisfaction the man was there. And at this point, we have no reason to doubt the story that he told us about what he observed. He had nothing to gain by it. So I do not for one second think Roswell was a put-up deal. Dwight, do you?
Absolutely not. I think today there is nothing, I mean, in my imagination, that I can fantasize about that the government today, after almost 50 years, would want to hide. I mean, what? We've had people talk about dummies and midgets and shaved monkeys and rockets and Japanese prisoners being I'm sorry, we have released information that the government of the United States has experimented on its own veterans with mustard gas, that we have put radioactive material into mentally infirm people, children's milk, against their knowledge. We've released some pretty horrible information. I can't imagine anything today that we would have to keep secret from 1947. I mean, in fact demand that someone tell me what could have happened in 47, militarily speaking, that today we would still have to maintain secrecy about. And I can't think of it.
Well, Dwight, we can get Mr. T. Maybe he can go and take him down over there. Never seen him anymore?
I think he's in the wrestling circuit. He's doing a wrestling show. Darren, our engineer in here, should probably know about that. But, yeah, I think I've seen T Tea in the Ring.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. Okay, Brian, thank you. You know, that's one guy I don't think I'd want to get in the ring with.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. You'd be surprised. He probably has a cold.
But he's got, looks like he has muscles on
his
muscles.
Well, he had muscles on muscles, but he laughed. And he was always cold and always tired and sitting down. He was like the most gentle person. But he had
how could he be cold with 39 pounds of gold all over him?
Well, it's real gold. He had a ridge in the back of his neck from wearing that stuff. It's true. But he was a very decent guy.
Well, I don't doubt it. I still wouldn't want to wrestle the guy. Let's go to Glenn, who's calling us from Vista on Dimension. Good evening, Glenn.
Hi. I was just wondering if you had heard anything about the about the rumor that Larry King was trying to get a clearance to go on to Area 51 for a possible TV show or a special in October.
Well, I can tell you what I know, because they came out and interviewed me several weeks ago for that. He does have a special that's going to be on CNN around the 1st of October. At this point, they're going to be doing a live broadcast from Rachel, Nevada.
Yes.
By
yes.
The Little Ailey Inn.
Yes, I've heard of it.
And the special's going to be, I believe, 2 hours.
Oh, great.
Glenn, so, yeah, he really is doing something with that.
I think you're doing a great job, and, of course, I subscribe to your magazine, and I believe I've seen one at some point of my life.
Well, I'll tell you,
Glenn, years ago.
We certainly appreciate it, and if you've been reading the magazine any length of time, you know we don't go for the woo-woo stuff. We're going for the real information.
Right, and that's what's very important, is to make sure that we do get the information that's correct and the way it should be.
All right.
Okay,
thank
good luck.
You
okay,
betcha.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Was that woo-woo you
that
said?
That was woo-woo.
Oh,
woo-woo.
Okay.
Did I mispronounce
no,
it?
No. It was very correct.
Because I'll tell you, I was afraid I was going to blow Milo's name tonight. I had to write it down here. So let's go to Ernie, who's calling us from Burbank on Salmons. Good evening, Ernie.
Hey, how you doing, Don?
I'm fine.
All right, great show tonight.
Thank you.
Hey, I have a couple questions. One, I guess, basically is on Groom Lake. And I was originally, I was actually...
Doesn't anybody want to talk about Marilyn Monroe? I used to fantasize about this woman. The most beautiful woman in civilization. We have probably one of the world's greatest experts on her sitting not 3 feet from me. Nobody wants to talk about Marilyn.
Well, actually, the question I have has some urgency to it, being that the fact that I guess they're getting ready to close down Freedom Ridge. And I was on...
That's because the Air Force wants to grab another 4,000 acres.
Right. But what I was wondering was, I guess there's a guy on America Online in the Omni section, and he calls himself the Desert Rat. Are you familiar with that guy?
Oh, yeah, Glenn Campbell.
Yeah. Well, he's...
Hey, you know, I'm on America Online.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I didn't know that, actually.
Well, let me take this opportunity to tell everybody that you can contact me on America Online by writing to, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Don Feii. That's Donfeii.
That's what I call him.
And if you, that's what Dwight calls me, and I guarantee you I'll get the message.
Okay. All right. But anyway, my question is
that's,
that...
You realize that's in the ether now. I just put that out all over the world. God, maybe I'll get a letter this week. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ernie.
Right. Anyway, my question is that I guess he's saying that, you know, they're getting ready to close that down, and that they're going to have some sort of a last protest get-together thing down there. I was wondering if you knew of any information on any specific dates that's going to happen, because I'm interested in going down there. And,
I have not heard, but I did have a call this past week from Glenn Campbell. I do have a contact number where to reach him. Plus, he can be reached on America Online.
Right.
I will ask him that question, and then I'll report it here on the show.
Okay. Also, one more quick thing. He also reported, and I read this last night online, that Larry King, I guess his plane, just coincidentally landed down there in that area under the impression that his plane was low on fuel. And he was raising the question that they really saw it as, you know, somewhat of a coincidence that it just happened to land in that area. 2 months prior to his show airing, and the fact that he was left on the airplane for like 90 minutes by himself. It's a really interesting article. It's like the latest.
I think that's a great place to keep Larry.
By himself?
Yeah.
On an airplane by himself.
For 90 minutes on the airplane, yeah. And then he was like escorted by military officials. Now, this is what the Desert Rat was writing as of last night. I think this was his last upload on America Online.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, pretty interesting stuff.
Hey, Ernie, I want to, we all our lines are lit up, and I know all these people want to talk about Maryland. I've got a roll, my friend.
All right.
You have a good one.
You too, Nugget.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Let's go to Ed in Boston, who's joining
hello.
Us on
CBI.
Sorry,
my question doesn't deal directly with Maryland, but it does deal with Roswell.
Okay.
I was wondering if either you or someone on your panel tonight can bring us up to date with the investigation being conducted by the congressman from New Mexico on the with the GAO in his inquiry about Roswell.
Well, no news, I guess, is good news at this point. We have not had any recent updates. Now, you have to remember that the GAO, Ed, was not investigating whether an alien spaceship crashed at Roswell. Schiff's office basically was getting the GAO involved to find out if any malfeasance on the money trail took place. The GAO nor Schiff have interviewed any of the over 400 witnesses to Roswell. Their interest at this point is not what happened at Roswell, but what the government did about it. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but it does if you know how they operate. Their overt interest is not whether we have an alien spaceship and bodies. In other words,
is there anyone in Schiff's office who's dealing with this particular issue?
His wife.
Yes.
What's his name or her name?
Schiff's administrative assistant is the wife of, you may have heard me mention the guy earlier tonight, Carl Flock, who is a former Central Intelligence Agency officer and a former Assistant Secretary of Defense. His wife has been working on this case, but, you know, as to what has happened up to this point, I couldn't say. Flock has tried to suggest that Roswell was not a ship, but was in fact a secret military balloon experiment. So that's where we're at there. Look, we have got to roll along, but I want to thank you for your call, Ed. Okay, we are going to go to Video Dave and Utaipa.
It must have been one heck of a balloon, that's all I can say.
Good evening, Dave.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. I heard Mr. Schultz talking about a half 15 minutes ago, or maybe it was 7 minutes ago, about the nuclear experiments we did on people, putting LSD in people's water and drinks, and all this has come out. So why hasn't the Roswell come out? And I think we can come up with a possible answer. Dwight, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Each one of those things that you mentioned over the air affected human beings being done by human beings. We use the word NSA or CIA or FBI. Those are still human beings that are running the government and saying, well, let's go to San Francisco and test this new drug on the hippies, LSD. Let's see what radiation poisoning does to the poor people, just to see what the response is. But still, we're dealing with human beings experimenting on human beings. Wrong, but still being done within the planet's Homo sapiens species.
Well, but
wait, let me finish, then it'll be your turn. Let me finish. Now, if you take an alien culture that comes from another planet in spaceships and starts coming into the Earth in 1947 and is still there today, this is not human beings experimented on human beings, but this is interplanetary visitors, a whole different ballgame.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we have revealed some extraordinarily heinous things that our government has done. So what you would keep secret would have to be larger than what we've already revealed. And I can't think of a military experiment that is more heinous than dousing children's milk with plutonium. So what I'm saying is that there has to be something larger than this issue to be kept secret.
But the joke is really on the government, because if you just take the circulation of UFO magazine or the listeners to this show, plus my UFO clearinghouse, plus hundreds of books, articles, the only people that don't know what's going on is the government.
Well, you might be onto something there, Dave.
In other words, you could
be onto something.
My point is that the government is afraid to make a statement. By the way, since I have you on satellite tonight, I want your viewers to know that September 18th will be a very unique day in UFO history. On September 18th, we have two UFO specials.
That's not when you're going to buy a subscription to the magazine, is it, Dave?
I thought I had given you money to be a charter member of UFOs Tonight, where I get free subscriptions for the rest of my life.
Oh, two lifetimes.
Anyway, September 18th, you've got a one-hour Unsolved Mysteries UFO special on Sunday, and that same day, September 18th, we have the new Paramount sighting show premiering on Fox.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
The Paramount will be premiering on the 18th.
And so will Unsolved Mysteries be having a one-hour UFO special.
Very good.
So mark down September 18th. And, of course, I think you made an error on the Larry King thing. Larry King will not be on CNN. It'll be a one-hour special on TBS, I believe.
Okay.
The Larry King one-hour special.
That's on TBS.
I believe it'll be on TBS.
Okay, well, the producer hasn't called me on that yet.
Uh-huh. Anyway, between the four of you that are in there, and I realize time is short because there are other calls.
We're right at the half hour, Dave.
Is my point well made that because this is aliens, that's why the government won't come forward?
Oh, of course. I think you hit it on the head.
Okay, you guys have a great night, and Renee, I love you.
Okay, Dave, I'll make sure she hears that.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we are right now at the bottom of the hour. We are going to take a quick break and come back and finish this last part of the show. Hey. And we are back. And just because so many of you called, tonight's subject, Marilyn Monroe and the UFO connection. I am holding in my hot little hand a
formerly
fax
nicotine stained
simile facsimile of a document purportedly from the Central Intelligence Agency, and this document is about the Marilyn Monroe UFO connection. My guest is Mr. Milo Spiriglio and his associate Mr. Scott McKenzie. And Milo is in here talking about this document. And Milo, I guess to recap, so everybody knows, it is a document that suggests Marilyn may have been killed because she was threatening to go public about a number of secret things that she found out through her liaison. I guess that's a nice way of saying she was seeing Bobby and Jack Kennedy in very intimate ways, and they had spilled the beans with her about a number of things, including, among other things, a crashed UFO and dead alien bodies.
Right. Well, this document verifies everything I've been saying for many years during our investigation, with the exception of the situation at Roswell, which was a total shock to me once I found out what Roswell even meant.
But you've been working on this case for
20 years.
Over 20 years.
With, among other investigations.
Oh, of course, but this has been one of your pet, if you will, projects, something that got its hooks in you and hasn't been able to let go?
Well, what made it so difficult and took so long is the fact of the massive cover-up, both by the Central Intelligence Agency, the FBI, Los Angeles Police Department, and other governmental agencies.
And one of the biggest bones of contention among so many researchers that have taken a look at this has been the former coroner, Thomas Noguchi, whom you just got on tape admitting for the first time publicly anywhere
that he was told by others that Marilyn's death would be a suicide even before he performed the autopsy.
So, in other words, the fix was already in.
The fix was in.
And it would have had to have come. from a very high source.
Well, we do know there was a lot of government agencies that were at the mortuary and at the coroner's office immediately after Marilyn died. Whether or not they were FBI or CIA, we don't know, but there were government people.
Well, you know, at that period of time in Hollywood, there was a group of well-known celebrities that had a nickname called the Rat Pack. And this included people like Peter Lawford, mm-hmm. who we know today had very close ties not only with the Kennedys, because he was married to one of the Kennedy sisters, but with Marilyn Monroe. And allegedly, he had set up many of the trysts for Bobby and Jack with Marilyn, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. And also, he was known as the Pimp of Hollywood.
The Pimp of Hollywood.
Right.
Well, and there were other people that today are still alive that associated with that group. People like Frank Sinatra, people like Dean Martin. Sammy Davis, of course, is no longer around, but he was a part of that group. Have any of these people ever...
Well, let me say this. Lawford's last wife stated that Peter had photographs of the Kennedys and Marilyn having sex at the Lawford house, actually in a large shower.
And what happened to these photos?
I haven't seen them, but I talked to a couple of people that claim they did. But she does admit it.
But the whole thing that makes all... I mean, we for many years, many of us have thought, I have personally thought, that there was something strange about her death. But the idea that all of this may have also been the icing on the cake, being the UFO connection, is almost beyond the pale. It's outrageous.
Yeah, let me add a little bit to this, if I may. Marilyn was going to hold a press conference the following day before her death. Bobby Kennedy stopped seeing her after she aborted their child. JFK no longer was seeing her. We have copies of the phone bills of her calling both the Attorney General's office and the White House. Marilyn told several people that she was going to hold this conference. She had all this information in her Red Diary, and I have talked to many people that's gone through portions of the Red Diary, so it did exist. And I only thought one of the reasons that she had to die, besides the Kennedy liaison, was the fact that she knew about Fidel Castro, the CIA plot by the Mafia to kill Castro. But now comes this outer space thing that even makes it more mysterious.
All right, what do you say we go back to the lines? We have the lines are lit up from top to bottom. Let's go to, we've got Jack calling us from La Hambra on Century. Good evening, Jack.
Yeah, how you doing, Don?
Fine. What's on your mind tonight?
It's an honor to speak with Milo Spiriglio. Milo, my question for you is, what role did Papa Joe Kennedy play in the whole situation? I knew he was very powerful, and I'm sure he had quite a bit of influence.
Well, yes, he did. He did have a problem speaking with his stroke, but JFK was able to communicate with him, and he was very, very close to Sam Momo Giancana, the head of the Chicago Mafia. And he did give the order through the president that Marilyn had to be silenced.
Uh-huh, so it kind of came from Papa Joe Kennedy then, more so than either Jack or Bobby.
Well, Bobby never knew about it, Jack did.
Oh. Milo, are you currently investigating the case?
No, the case is closed.
Really? Okay, Milo, I heard you on a premiere story, and I thought you were great.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your call, Jack.
Thanks a lot, Don.
You bet. Okay, let's go to Mary, who's calling us from Simi on Comcast. Good evening, Mary, and thank you for holding.
Hi, thank you. I had a question for Milo.
Yes.
I work for one of the major newspapers here in Southern California, and I'm wondering if anyone from the L.A. Times or Daily News has been in contact with him about this document?
The Los Angeles Times will not report it.
Okay, what about the Daily News? Because that's who I work for.
Okay, well, that's the newspaper I read.
Okay. I'm wondering if there's any way that I can get a hold of this. I have contacts with a lot of the reporters.
Sure. Give me a call at Nick Harris Detectives in Van Nuys.
Okay. All right, I will do that. And I'm wondering real quickly, the rumors that Bobby Kennedy visited Marilyn around the time right before her death, are those true, or what did you find out?
Absolutely true. Bobby Kennedy was there a few hours before Marilyn's death.
Do you think that he was trying to warn her in any way?
No, they had a fight.
They had a fight?
Yeah, it was all recorded.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right, Mary, okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's go to Jim, who's calling us from Eagle Rock. Good evening, Jim.
Hi, Don.
Did you get your prize?
Yeah, I got
the Gray Matter book?
Yes, indeed.
All right, I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, it was very good.
Okay.
One thing real quick first, Video Dave reminded me of it. A couple of four shows ago, he asked which was the first UFO movie made off of an actual UFO report.
Right.
And nobody's ever taken a stab at it, so I will.
Okay.
I think it's a movie called The Disappearance of Flight 451 with Glenn Ford.
Well, that was back in the early 70s.
Yeah, so that's the earliest one I can think
about
of.
About 1974. I remember it well.
Yeah.
Okay, Jim.
And I have a question of Marilyn Monroe to your guest.
Yes, please.
On the night of her murder, there was a supposed car parked on that street that didn't belong. Is that true? Recognized by the neighbors?
Well, there was a car that arrived before the coroner's car. This was before her death. We set her time of death somewhere around 10 to 11 p.m. on the 4th of August, 1962. As far as anybody's staken out, no, but there were wiretappers a couple blocks away in a van that were monitoring the phone calls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, that answers my question then.
Okay, Jim.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Good night.
Now, Milo, you had stated that Marilyn aborted a fetus.
Yes, she did.
That was Bobby's?
She told many of her close friends that it was Bobby's. It was done at the Cedars 11 Hospital. And she went there, and they stated it was a different type of procedure, which was very common in those days, because abortions were not legal in Los Angeles.
Right, right. And that's why Bobby stopped seeing her?
Well, that is one of the reasons. Bobby told her, whether or not this was pillow talk or true, that he was going to divorce his wife and marry Marilyn, and she was fool enough to believe it.
Mm. Well, he was. Then he had, seven or eight children in his marriage?
Oh, yeah.
And not to mention that they were very devout in their faith, which was Roman Catholic, which would have been, I mean, the idea that he would have divorced his wife and so forth was ludicrous.
No, but she actually believed that he would, and she would be the First Lady.
That poor, deluded woman. Let's go back to the phones. We have Sean calling us from Laguna. Where is it, Sean?
Laguna Niguel.
Okay. Well, you're on the air.
Well, I was just flipping through the channels, and I heard your show, and I think this kind of forum is great. It's the first time I've heard of it.
Oh, well, we've been doing it for years.
Well, what nights are you on, and what time?
Saturday from 9 to 11. And that's okay. Pacific. Because we are coast to coast.
Yeah, well, that's great.
Okay, did you have a question for
my
guest?
Yeah, well, I don't have a question about Marilyn, but I have a question.
Okay.
Well, I've been seeing and hearing about a new craft that the U.S. government might be testing or already have operational.
Uh-huh.
I was talking to a pilot, believe it or not, a military pilot at an air show, and he didn't really say much, but he said enough, something about a craft that has stealth capabilities. It's very fast, like supersonic. It's very quiet, almost no sound, and it can take off and hover like a helicopter. And I've seen a few computer-generated images about it, too. There was one on TV today on a show about an air show in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys heard anything about such a craft?
Well, there are a number of secret craft that a number of people have tried to put a handle on. One is the successor to the SR-71, which is incorrectly called the Aurora craft. Scott, you're an airplane buff, and I believe you're a pilot.
Well, the only thing I can tell you, I just heard a little information there. Indeed, there is another aircraft that I was told from a couple of sources up in Nevada, which is going to be revealed. It's basically a second-generation stealth, but the original stealth is not actually a fighter, so that the new one would actually have the F designation put to it, and the old stealth will become the wild weasel. That's what I was told, and apparently there have been some video that has already been played in some parts of the country. I think up in Nevada they put that on the air. that they actually took a video of this aircraft flying. That's as much as I know about it.
But there's also speculation about a craft called the Mantra?
The Manta.
Manta. Yeah. Nor. I thought I saw Nor in there.
Well, I remember a few years ago, and they had a Navy craft that they were proposing to build, and it was very, you know, almost like a little flying wing.
Mm-hmm,
they said they canceled it, but I've heard somewhere that they never canceled it. They just made it a black project, and the thing is already operational, or almost operational. My brother saw something in the desert. He didn't get it on video, but he said it was not like any craft he'd ever seen before.
Well, there are totally a number flying around in this part of the country, and as to what they are and when they may be publicly known is anybody's guess, but...
After the next war.
Well, it very well could be. Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for your call. Let's go to DJ, who's calling us from Ventura on Century. Good evening, DJ.
Hello. Hello. Hey, Don.
I'm here.
Hello, Dwight.
Hi.
Hey, or should I say Mr. Barkley?
Whatever.
And Milo. You know, I'm a big fan of all of this. I got a question which would probably apply to all three of you. Have any of you ever encountered any what you would call government intimidation or surveillance or feelings of such by doing the work that you guys do?
Oh, I haven't.
I haven't.
I can't talk about it.
That means yes, but...
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's cool. How about you, Don?
No. I've never been overtly bothered by anybody.
Scott?
That's not an area to talk about.
Okay.
I understand. Hey, Don, give out the information and the address for joining your group.
Oh, the UFO information, sir, absolutely. You can contact me at UFO Magazine by writing to P.O. Box 1053 in Sunland, California, 91041. Or calling me up at the office at the magazine, 818-951-1250. We are back. You know, when we think about Marilyn, Milo, Scott, we think about this young, vibrant, beautiful 30-odd-year-old woman with the platinum hair. But, you know, here it is 32 years later. I don't know if we're still on the air or not.
We have had a... Yes, everything went kaput.
She would be in her 60s now, wouldn't she?
Well, she died when she was 36 years old. That was 33 years ago.
So she would be up there.
Yes, she would.
Are we still going out here, Darren? Yeah, we're still going out. We've got a little problem with our headsets. Well, if I can't go back to the phones yet because... Yeah, there we go.
We're back.
Okay, now let me try going back to the phones.
CIA harassment, folks.
Is that what it is?
Absolutely. I guarantee. That's what's going
agents
on.
Agents from the secret government.
Your phones are tapped.
Let's go to line five. We've got, I hope I don't blow this, Damaris?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes,
it's a lovely name.
Oh, that is a lovely name, and I didn't want to mispronounce it. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I was just wondering, what about the Philadelphia experiments, the Montauk experiments?
Montauk.
What else has taken place with that? What other new information?
Are you on a cordless phone, Damaris?
No, not at all.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you the
it's a bad thing.
Oh, terrible static coming through there. Well, the Philadelphia experiment, are you still on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. The Philadelphia experiment allegedly happened in 1943, and according to the reports that we know about, it was allegedly an experiment to render a ship invisible. Now, whether it meant invisible optically or from radar or whatever, I don't know. But there have been a lot of people in years after that that tried to turn that into something much more mysterious. And a few years ago, starting about 1989, a fellow by the name of Al Balik came out with a wild story about being part of the Philadelphia experiment while he was in another body. And he ended up traveling through time and all kinds of wonderful things. Make a hell of a sci-fi movie, okay? But the long and the short of it is, if you're asking me, do I give any credence to the Montauk thing, without a lot more information, I do not.
Because I was wondering about it because of the fact that they had also said that during that period of time, that's when they had opened the window to the UFOs.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I was wondering about that.
A lot of stuff in that story that just seems to be too incredible to believe. And if it's too incredible to believe, Damaris, it probably is.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Well, I enjoy your show very much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Keep those eyes looking up.
I will.
All righty. Bye-bye. Okay. Let's go to Jim, who's calling us from Milwaukee. Jim?
Yeah. Hi,
what
God.
Really made Milwaukee great?
It was
Schlitz beer. Okay. All right. I just wanted to check.
I remember Amos and Andy. They used to, the Milwaukee beer. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, they loved it, too. Yeah. You know, you ruined another one of my Saturday nights.
Did I really?
Yeah, this has been going on for months, but that's okay. I don't mind. In fact, I love it.
Okay.
Two things. Well, one for one of the earlier callers, the very first Flying Saucer movie was called The Flying Saucer. With some actual footage taken in Alaska, I believe.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that was in the early 50s.
Okay.
I read that, by the way, in UFO magazine. Vicky had an article about that.
Well, I'm going to have to talk to my bride there and find out what the real story is.
You're going to have to, check on that. Now, I have a question for your guest, if I could.
Please.
How, since you're into documents, how from A to Z do you file the Freedom of Information Act to get the documents that you want?
This particular document did not come from Freedom of Information Act.
Yeah, I realize that, but how do you file from
A to Z? Okay, the way you do it, in my particular case, I go under as both an author and an investigator. You have to give the, depending what you're obtaining, if it's federal or state or county, you have to give them the name of the person or persons that you want to obtain the information from. I have all the forms at my office if you're interested in that.
Okay. Yeah, I would. There are a few things I'd like to know.
Yeah, it takes a long time. I know when we first got the FBI files in Maryland, it took almost 2 years.
Wow. They're not too fast, are they?
Is it expensive, Milo?
No, it's a few cents a page. Now, you could go to Washington, D.C., for federal and actually inspect them right there.
Hmm.
Well, all right.
Yeah, okay. Well, that was it. Thank you very much for that information.
Okay, Jim,
okay.
And you please keep looking up and keep listening.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye. Okay, we are going to go, let's see, we've got Gretchen calling us from Anaheim on Multivision. Good evening, Gretchen.
Hi, I've been listening to everything you've been saying about Maryland with great interest. My question is this. Even though not much was known about what was going on in her personal life as far as the Kennedys went on at that time, she had no political credibility. Why would anybody go to the trouble, the incredible trouble, the labyrinthine plan of getting rid of Marilyn when she could easily have been discredited in the press within 24 hours after her supposed press conference?
Number one, she did have that red diary, and with that information, it would be very easy for good investigative reporters to follow up on it and prove most of what she would be talking about. I'm not talking about the outer space situation, but as far as the Castro, CIA, the Kennedys, and what have you.
But they could have easily have discredited her because of her position in the film community with the Rat Pack. That whole scenario was, you know, she was kind of in la la land anyway, especially with her.
But she told too many friends of hers about what was going on over the last year of her life.
He was also involved in heavy drug use and alcohol.
But may I say something here? It isn't just a question of discrediting her. You have to understand that this was at the height of the Cold War.
Right.
This information being released to the press would have been, especially what the information about Castro, the secret bases, whatever. You had a lot of spies here. You had a lot of agents working in this country who could have used this for fodder to discredit people. And believe me, had there been real credible evidence, you don't know that she might not have been killed by somebody if she had gotten away with the press conference.
Well, the embarrassment factor would have been tremendous.
But
the embarrassment to the Kennedys was probably primarily what they were talking about anyway.
You know, she once had lunch together with the head of Russia, Khrushchev,
right,
at one of the studios.
Right, I know that.
No, but this information would have been, you would have really let the cat out of the bag.
She was an object, though, more of pity, even at the time.
She was an object of what?
Pity.
Well, she was an object of pity, but
of course, she was a beautiful woman and all that, but everyone knew she was a troubled spirit at that time.
But that has nothing to do with her credibility in this area.
Yeah, that's totally wrong. Her life changed the last days of her life. She was reassigned back to the movie.
That's true.
She was going to, she just bought new furniture for her house. I mean, a person's not going to commit suicide.
That's true.
I mean, all these good things were happened to her, so it was not as reported.
I really appreciate your answer.
All right, Gretchen, I want to thank you for your call.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay, you know, we are down to about just 2 minutes before the show is over. Milo, Scott, do you guys have anything that you want to end the show on, a certain note?
Well, I have something I'd like to mention. I certainly would think that it would be an interesting idea that if individuals who are in the same profession as Milo, myself, I know there are a couple of other investigators I know personally, who might take a deeper interest in this subject. I think it would be fascinating, for once, to have people who made their living, fed their families doing investigative work, suddenly turn that same technique to this area. I don't think it's ever been done before. There are lots of credible people out there who investigate UFOs, but when you have to feed your family, you have to go in front of a court with information and win cases, and we've done that successfully over the years, to be able to apply the very same technique to this subject, I think might reveal a lot of additional information, and it certainly will get rid of a lot of the rumors that are out there.
Well, you know, private investigators, good ones anyway, know how to find out information that reporters that are scientists and so forth do not know how to get to, particularly how to find informants and dig up things in the skeletons of the closet.
Well, do you think that's what it's all about, as far as this is concerned, getting the skeletons out of the closet?
Well, I mean, to get information from people, you want to find out. There's a lot of people reluctant to talk to anyone. And most of the time when we do it using an undercover approach, so they don't know who we really are.
We're out of time. Thanks very much. Hope you enjoyed this edition of Don Ecker Live.
Well, that's Larry King telling us that's who it was. That was Larry King.
No.
I swear to God.
No.
It was. It was. He's saying you're almost out of time.
Oh, good.
Guys, I want to thank you for coming in tonight. It's
great
been
pleasure.
A fascinating
well,
show.
Well, we do appreciate it, and if there's a wealthy individual out there who wants to hire a private investigator to find UFOs, you know who to call.
Absolutely. Nick, how can people get in touch with you? Is there...
They could contact me at Nick Harris Detective Bureau and Academy in Van Nuys, California. Our number there is 818-343-6611. And best times to reach me is weekdays between the hours of 9 and 3.
Okay. All right. Well, that is it for another week. My name is Don Ecker. And joining me each week has been...
Dwight Schultz.
I knew that. I knew that. It was a test. You passed. You passed.
I almost said Dwayne Schwartz.
That is it for another week. Keep those eyes looking up. And, hey, we'll be back in a week. Here's the music.
Goodbye, though I never knew you at all, you had the grace to hold yourself by those around the wall. Goodbye, Norman, from the young man in the play in the second row, who sees you as something more than sexual, more than just Dower, Marilyn Monroe. The candle burns.